And we're your hosts. I'm Diane Bortoletto.
And I'm Monique Chicardo.
Let's do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to And Away We Go F1 Podcast, a Formula One podcast that goes beyond the track limits to talk about travel, food, and lifestyle surrounding the sport. I'm Diane Bortoletto, your pre-Drive to Survive fan, and today I'm in Perth. And sadly, Monique is still unwell, so she won't be joining us this week. And in the hot seat, I have the lovely Kira Gillen, who is a co-founder of Formula One Live Pulse, which is the app that I've been banging on about all these weeks that I usually refer to when I'm watching races. So welcome to the show, Kira.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Oh, well, we spoke to your co-founder of the app, Simone, I think it was back in episode 39. I'll put a link in this episode, so if you want to hear all about the app. But you've done heaps of improvements to the app since we had him on. So there's a desktop version now, right?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. So we were beta testing it, but we launched it there a few weeks ago. So there's now a desktop version for all users for freemium and pro, but there's a lot of good features in there for pro. So basically, the main thing we've added is a map and a driver tracker. So when you're watching the race, you can see all the different drivers, whether they're in the pit lane or whether they're where they are on track. And you can see then, like when we have a yellow flag, what driver stopped and what, you know, it's really cool. It's really exciting. And yeah, so some of the main things that we've added.
Yeah, and I've got to say that we've just had the United States Grand Prix, which where I am in Australia is at an awful time zone. So it was on at 3 a.m. So I watched it first thing this morning at 5:00. But of course, I couldn't refer to your app and I really missed it. It's the first race in weeks, months that I haven't used Formula Live Pulse. I really missed it.
Yeah, I have to say, like, I mean, obviously I'm quite biased because, you know, I'm one of the founders, but it is really great. And it is such a good companion and it's got so much detail in there. To know, good feedback.
It's just, you know, usually I have the driver's radio on, like where all of their messages, all their radio messages are transcribed. And I always, you know, obviously have Oscar Piastri's ticked that I want to see and usually Lando Norris and whoever's in front of them or whoever's challenging them. And I really missed it because I didn't get that insight of what was going on sort of behind the scenes. I did hear the commentary say that Lando was getting a lot of coaching, which is pretty standard for races. Before we jump into the race, Kiara, tell us where in the world are you and tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I'm currently in Berlin. I'm Irish, but I moved to Berlin a few years ago, but I kind of go back and forth between Ireland and Berlin. My background is actually film and media production, but I got into Formula One. I mean, to be honest, I always had an eye on Formula One. I'm kind of quite big into sports. I started off loving football, big Man United fan, then got into rugby. And actually, Simone and I, when we met, we worked together first and we're actually not just business partners, but also partners, life partners. I started watching Formula One with him. And so kind of through that, then I realized that, you know, I had a lot of questions. I was always asking, like, what's this about? And what's, you know, looking for more data, more information. And from that, we realized that, you know, there wasn't anything out there. Like Formula One has like quite a great app and obviously it's made it better in the last year, but there's still a lot of data missing, a lot of information, especially for newbies. So in a way, I'm a post-Drive to Survive fan. So that's kind of how I got into it even more, you know, recently. Yeah.
I remember when we were talking to Simone about coming on the podcast, initially he said that the app was developed because, he said, quote, my girlfriend kept asking me a million questions about Formula One during the races. So I built an app, which I think is hilarious. But, you know, perfect. There's obviously a gap and you guys filled the gap. And
this is it. And it's often how like businesses start, you know, it's a personal need that you're filling. And then we realized, like, the more we looked into it, like at first he built the kind of dashboard for us. And then we realized, actually, you know, this is really beneficial. And we feel like those, you know, the more we started kind of researching it and talking to Formula One fans, we realized, oh God, people actually want this as well as us. So yeah, so it was great. It's very positive.
Now, do you have a Formula One driver that you follow or a Formula One team that, you know, that you root for?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, obviously, I date an Italian, so it would be sacrilegious to not follow Ferrari. It's a good thing I like it.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I like them, although it's very painful to watch at times. But no, I mean, I like Ferrari. I mean, I do love Ferrari. I mean, they're very interesting team, to be honest. Oh. In general, all the history, you know, who couldn't love Ferrari?
Exactly. Everyone's a Ferrari fan.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Even when you say you're not. But driver wise, I mean, I really do like Piastri. I'm rooting for Piastri. So, I really am. But I also love, I mean, obviously I love Charles. I mean, Lewis is the GOAT. And yeah. Then I have a soft spot for Carlos Sainz. I've always had a soft spot for Carlos Sainz,
well,
you know, so.
Being an ex Ferrari driver and as well. Yeah. And yeah, on the same, actually, we've got very similar tastes.
I also think Sainz has a great, strategic brain, so he's interesting to watch as a driver, you know. So I think that kind of makes a difference as well.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of Carlos Sainz, how good was it seeing him on the podium of the sprint race? So of course the US Grand Prix was a sprint weekend, and we had a sprint race where Carlos finished third on the podium, which was fantastic, and ahead of him was George Russell in second, and Max Verstappen took out the sprint in first, and we'll get to the McLarens in a second. But when Carlos was interviewed after his third place, the crowd, did you hear them? They just cheered and cheered and cheered. And honestly, Formula One put out a clip with a timer of how long the cheers went for. It was nearly 30 seconds. It just kept getting louder. And every time he tried to speak, it was so lovely to see.
Yeah, it was really heartwarming to see. Like, I was so lovely, you know.
Yeah.
I was trying to understand, was it because people haven't seen him on the podium? And like, obviously, he was on the podium before just once, but with Williams, is it just him, or, you know, what was going on? But it was so lovely to see, and he deserved it, you know. Great race for him, like, really great.
Totally great. Yeah. Like, fantastic result for Williams, fantastic result for Carlos Sainz. And I think those cheers came about just because he's got a huge fan base, and because Williams, I guess, is very much seen as the underdog that's kind of rising, right? And everybody loves an underdog story, and I think that plays into it as well.
Yeah, big time, yeah. And then in the race, I mean,
oh my God, the race. All right. In fourth place behind Carlos, we had Lewis Hamilton in the Ferrari, then Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari, then Alex Albon in the Williams, Yuki Tsunoda in Red Bull, Kimi Antonelli finished eighth, Liam Lawson in the Racing Bulls ninth, and Pierre Gasly rounds out the top 10 of the sprint race. Now, there's no McLarens listed in there, and that's because they took each other out. Oh, it was awful. It was just awful.
It was crazy. I mean, when it happened, I was like, oh my God. At first I thought Piastri had done something wrong, and I was like, oh my God, he was getting Lando back for what happened the week, you know, in Singapore. And then when I was watching the replay, I was like, oh my God, this big, as Hulk described it, this big sandwich of cars. I didn't expect it. To be honest, I kind of did a little bit expect it. Something crazy was going to happen. But yeah, I mean, it was mad.
Max qualified on pole for the sprint race. Lando Norris was in second. Oscar was in third. And then Nico Hülkenberg was in fourth. That was the start grid for the sprint race. Now, when lights went out, Oscar went for the lunge. He was going after Lando. He went to go around the outside and then tried switch back into the inside. And as a result, clipped Nico, who was in his blind spot, if you like, and then launched his car pretty much into Lando, and it took both of them out. So that meant that Max Verstappen, right, scored 8 valuable points, and no McLaren driver scored any points during the sprint race. So that was not a very good weekend for McLaren.
I think this is one of the things about the sprint race weekends, is that the tricky thing is, like, you know, if you mess up in any way in that sprint race, you have no data, you have no information. And I really feel it impacted Piastri much more than it impacted Norris in the end in the main race, you know, because they had no information whatsoever. It's making me very nervous for that championship.
Yeah, me too. It's making me really nervous as well. Really nervous. And you're right. The team kept saying that they didn't have any data because they didn't compete in the sprint race, whereas all the other teams did have data, so they could, you know, the Ferraris, for example, you know, Lewis Hamilton, I saw an interview with him where he was saying that they just kept putting holes in the front wing to increase the downforce, you know, as a result of the data that they collected over the weekend. And during a sprint race, of course, there's only one free practice. Then they go into sprint qualifying, the sprint race, and then quali, and then the race itself. I kind of love it. There's more skin in the game on the sprint weekends. Like, it does make it really interesting, and there's just loads more action to what that counts for something. Whereas free practice, you know, I never really pay a lot of attention to it because I know that the teams are trying different setups and trying different tyres to see how they perform on track in the weather conditions, etc. So, yeah, it does make for exciting viewing.
It is true, definitely. I feel sorry for some teams when that kind of stuff happens, but I agree, like it does make for a much more interesting weekend. And like, look at Ferrari. Ferrari qualified, what was it, 8th and 10th for the sprint and then finished 3rd and 4th. You know what I mean? It was an amazing sprint race for them. And then ultimately amazing weekend for them because they got all that data and they were able to, as you say, improve on it. So
yeah,
it was a good weekend for Ferrari when we're usually crying.
Exactly. Just for, you know, officialness, there was no further investigation from the stewards about the Oscar Lando Nico Hülkenberg incident. It was deemed a lap one racing incident. McLaren haven't come out and said anything. Lando absolutely shut down any questions about team orders and repercussions, that word. I suppose you've seen all the posts, right? Before the race of Lando coming out saying, yeah, there's going to be repercussions for me between now and the end of the season as a result of that kind of aggressive bump of Oscar in the last race. What those repercussions are, no one knows. It's all a bit secretive, you know, go sit in a corner and think about what you've done. Like, we don't know what the repercussions actually are, which is kind of frustrating as fans. And I feel like that McLaren have just come up with this PR line just to sort of shut everybody up, essentially. What do you think?
I 100% agree. I think McLaren are victims of their own openness, you know. I think that they're trying to be fair, but too fair in many ways. I think they had a line, they said something, and then it kind of backfired because people were like, as you just said, what are the repercussions? We want to know more. Just said, hey, listen, we handled it in-house. It's sorted. It's done. And, you know, everybody's moved on. We would have moved on. But just with regards to lap one, turn one incident, I mean, look, at the end of the day, like, okay, there was a lot apparently in the Italian media blaming Piastri.
Oh,
I think
yes.
Piastri, yeah. I think Piastri was aggressive, but I think really he had no choice. And I think it really was just a racing incident because, you know, you had obviously Nico on the left. And I think Piastri, even if he couldn't see him, if he was in his blind side, he would have known someone was on his left. But he didn't know that Alonso was on the other left. And you can see how they're all trying to go for the gaps. When you watch the main race and how even in the main race, they all knew they kept even like seeing Charles, like who started third. He went so wide because he was like, I'm not getting involved in this. So I think really, you know, it definitely was a turn one racing incident, you know, and I would be unfair to blame Piastri personally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and the only thing that it ended up doing was decreasing the gap that Max has got from the both of them. Which is kind of a shame. And I'm actually quite worried about Oscar's championship title fight now. I'm rooting for Oscar. I'm an Australian, so I'm hoping Oscar takes out the world driver's title. But yeah, there's only 40 points in it now after the race. Let's jump into the race. Max is on an absolute charge, isn't he? He likes Austin. He drove an impeccable weekend. You can't fault him. Unfortunately, you just can't. He did really well and he took pole position. Lando Norris took second place. Charles Leclerc qualified in third, which was brilliant for Ferrari. George Russell in fourth. Lewis Hamilton, the other Ferrari, in fifth. Oscar qualified in sixth place. Not great for him. He had a clunky weekend, didn't he? He just said that he didn't gel with the car and that showed. Kimi Antonelli qualified in seventh. Ollie Bearman in eighth in the Haas. Carlos Sainz qualified in ninth. And Fernando Alonso qualified in the Aston Martin in 10th. So that was the starting grid, the top 10. Well, the first lap, there was no incident. Like you said, they left each other a lot of space after what happened in the sprint race.
I mean, not that I wanted to see people being taken out, and I definitely didn't want to see Piastri being taken out in the sprint race. But I was kind of hoping there might have been a bit more aggressiveness, that maybe Lando and Max might have gone. Charles comes through in first, and you know, Piastri gets a chance. So the more playing it safe was a bit like, oh, but Charles on the softs coming out of nowhere. I mean, obviously, we knew he was going to have a good start. We were hoping on the softs with his aggressive approach. And so him going to second was amazing. It was really great to see, you know. It was just disappointing for him ultimately that he couldn't keep it in second. I feel for me that was, aside from Piastri not making more gains than just one place, that was a kind of big disappointment for me from the race. Like, if I wanted to focus on any negatives, he didn't keep second.
Gabriel Bortoletto and Charles Leclerc were the only two drivers that started on softs and everyone else was on the mediums. Charles got a brilliant start and got Lando, like you said, the first lap and overtook him and held second place for ages. It took quite a while for Lando to get past him, but ultimately he did. Oscar made up a place and was running fifth in the McLaren and held on to that and finished in fifth. So that the finishes of the race, Max took pole, Max just took off. I think Max finished, oh God, nearly 8 seconds ahead of Lando Norris, who ended up taking second place and finishing second. Charles Leclerc on the podium in third place. That was really great to see. And Ferrari needed that boost, you know, and Ferrari fans needed that boost as well. So that was brilliant. Lewis Hamilton just behind him in fourth. He had an issue, actually, didn't he? On the last lap, he got a puncture. Yeah. And, oh, Oscar was catching him. I thought Oscar might finish in fourth place, but that wasn't to be. Oscar finished in fifth. Then George Russell in the Mercedes in sixth. Yuki Tsunoda finished in seventh. Nico Hülkenberg finished eighth in the Sauber. Olli Behrmann in the Haas in ninth. He had a great race as well. And Fernando Alonso finished in 10th. So in the points for the old boy, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I just saw that Carlos Sainz has been given a penalty for causing a crash. So Carlos has got that 5th place grid penalty going into Mexico next week as a result of causing a collision with Antonelli, and that ruined Antonelli's race as well. He finished in 13th when he was running in the top 10.
Poor Carlos. I felt so bad for him, but I remember when we were watching it, yes, Money was immediately like, no, Carlos was in the wrong. And I was like, no, Antonelli turned in. And it was like, no, Carlos was in the wrong there. But I think when they were looking at the incident, they must have been looking, because obviously Carlos was taken out of the race by that whole incident. And so maybe they thought that Antonelli first might have been in the wrong, which is such a pity. I think Carlos is great and it's really good to see him back on form. But I feel that he still has that. I mean, he's even said it himself afterwards. He was like, I could have settled with 8th and gone behind Nelly and continued on my race and, you know, gone that way home. But I wanted more. And I think that that's where he kind of is between a rock and a hard place. He knows he's skilled enough to get more. He's just not necessarily in the car that's going to bring him there at the moment. And, you know, because if you look at the other races, because everyone's like, oh, why has Carlos had such bad form? But he hasn't. He's actually qualified much better than Albon for majority of the year. But he's done things like this where he's gotten himself into a situation where he's probably been a little too aggressive. And he's then gotten taken out and he's DNF'd or he's got some sort of injury in damage to the car. And then he ends up in like 17th or something when he was up in the top 10 qualifying, you know. Yeah. So it's kind of a little bit frustrating to watch. And I'm sure it is for him as well, you know.
Yeah, totally. And where Williams is sitting in the constructors as well, like right in the middle in 5th place. He's currently 11th in the driver's standings on 38 points. Isaac Hadjar is ahead of him on 39 points. Nico Hülkenberg is in 9th place on 41 points. So there's like 3 points separating those guys between 11th and 9th. Well, there's the battle. That's why Carlos is pushing, right? Then there's a little jump. Alex Albon is sitting in 8th on 73 points. Kimi Antonelli on 89 points. Lewis Hamilton in 6th position on 142. Then his teammate, Charles Leclerc, on 192 is in 5th in the driver's standings. Then we've got in 4th place, George Russell, 252. So there's 60 points between George and Charles. So you'd expect the season will probably end in the same order there. Then Max Verstappen on 306 points. After taking pole in the race and winning the race convincingly and loving it, you know.
I don't think I want Max to win this year. I don't. And it's funny hearing people go, oh, you know, it's interesting. And it is interesting to see because it was getting a little boring watching, you know, Lando and Piastri kind of have the same as you, I can't even say fight each other because they weren't allowed to fight each other. But this kind of one wins, other wins. You know, watching Piastri grow and blossom and become a champion has definitely been really interesting. But it is fun and more enjoyable to watch somebody kind of challenge him. I don't want Max to win this year, though.
No, look, I want Oscar to win this year. And I've said very first episode this year that it's Oscar's year, and I still believe that. But if I'm wrong, and I hope I'm not, and if Max does come in and leapfrog 40 points, which is the difference between him and Oscar at the moment, and there's 14 points between Lando and Oscar, and there's 26 points between Max and Lando, and then 14 points between Lando and Oscar. So Max is 40 points off the championship lead. And if there's 5 races to go. Now, 4 races ago, Max was 104 points behind Oscar. 4 races on, he's only 40 points behind Oscar. And we've got two more sprint races to go. Like, Max is
100%.
Oh, he's on a charge. I've been saying that for a few weeks now. And I think that, you know, he's got his eye on the prize. Like, he can smell it now. And when Max gets like that, you know, he's almost unstoppable. Like, he's such a talented driver. And even in a car that he's sometimes struggling with, he's just extracting more than the car should give him, really. Oh, that's crazy.
100%. Like, it is very, very possible. It is extremely possible. You know, he's not a 4-time world champion for nothing. You know, the guy is extremely talented. It's really interesting. I mean, I do feel like they had a bumpy, I mean, I have personal opinions, and I don't know if I should share my personal opinions of why.
Tell us.
So I think the whole Christian Horner saga and everything that was going on with Christian Horner behind the scenes, I think that massively impacted the team. I'd be crazy that if it didn't. And then I think when they finally got rid of Christian Horner, they took a while to settle and go, okay, what does this new regime look like? What does it look like under Lauren? And they found their groove very quickly because they are a well-oiled machine, which is thanks to Christian Horner. And now they're back to what they know best, which is winning. I thought it would take longer. I thought it would probably come into 2026. But I'm not surprised that, you know, they're back. And Max is a champion, you know. And as you said, he can smell it. And unfortunately, Piastri, like, as you said, I can't remember how you phrased it, but like, he was really struggling with the car this week. And I personally think he's been struggling for a few weeks. And so it's like, is he rattled? People are talking about him, he lost his confidence. I don't know what's going on, but since Monza, he's finished after Lando. Obviously, he DNF'd in Baku, but he's not been performing the way he was in the earlier races. And he's got to find his groove. Otherwise, bye-bye, you know?
Yeah, since he started Formula One, everyone's been commenting on Oscar's cool, calm, collected. He doesn't get rattled. He's unflappable, cool, calm and collected. But I hate to say it, maybe he is rattled. I mean, this whole papaya rules, the perception is it's landed in Lando's favour more often than not, these papaya rules. And then Lando giving Oscar that nudge, right?
And Singapore, yeah.
Which seemed massively unfair. Okay, on its own, it was a racing incident, but because, you know, we've said this 100 times, because McLaren have played these papaya rules, then there's an expectation that they'll make things fair. And number one papaya rule, do not hit your teammate. And okay, Lando's got a repercussion, which we've said, we don't know what that is. Write lines on a chalkboard. No one knows, right? It doesn't mean anything. I just hope that Oscar can recenter, reset. He's got 5 races to hang on to the lead. And one of the commentators actually said he's been in this position before in Formula 3 where he had a decent lead and then someone was catching him and he hung on to that lead and took the championship. This isn't new territory for Oscar, so let's hope that he can keep a very feisty, very focused, very charging Max Verstappen at bay.
I mean, that's actually encouraging to hear. I wasn't following him when he was in Formula 3. That is encouraging. And that is something that really will stand to him. I know they've been saying like certain races aren't McLaren races of the ones that are going to come. But I think that if he can just get in a good performance, a win, obviously, like, it really will give him back that confidence. Max, obviously, look, Max is Max. Max is going to go for it. He's got nothing to lose. I mean, the man was there racing, you know, in GT3 this year. Like, he really had, right? And I don't mean to use this word in a negative way, but he had a kind of a blasé attitude to the whole Formula One this year. But that's great because it brought a more relaxed Max, more enjoyable Max to watch. But he is a talent and he's a champion. And if he can and he's given a sniff of it, he will win. But we were watching Formula One commentary. They didn't feel the Red Bull was actually stronger or faster than the McLaren car. But it's just that he got the opportunity and he kept it. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, look, all of this is, you know, it's all easy for me to say, but Piastri needs to get himself in order, needs to get back to those winning ways and just get an edge, get that edge back that he had before. The one thing I will say, there was a couple of races where Piastri in free practice wasn't great. Wasn't lining up the board, wasn't doing great. And then he would go in and get pole. So he's got it there. He has it. He's just kind of seems to have a little bit lost it. The car doesn't seem to be responding for him for whatever reason in the last couple of races. But hopefully this has kind of given him a bit of enough of a shake to go, okay, I need to figure this out, you know?
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. In other news, Lewis Hamilton. So he's the first driver ever in the history of the world to score more than 5,000 points. He's clicked over the 5,000 point mark and he's the only driver to have done that. So yeah, well done, Lewis Hamilton.
Wow. Woohoo!
Yeah,
I think he needs a podium. He really does.
Oh, Lewis needs a podium. What we normally do on this podcast, Kiara, is talk about the race destination as well. This race has been Austin, Texas. We know that Texas is famous for the Longhorn bull, you know, ranches, cowboy culture. I've not been to Texas or Austin. No, you haven't been either.
No, but I have to say it is somewhere where I'd like to go. And I was thinking about like the races that I haven't been. I mean, I've only actually been to Barcelona, but of the races that I've been to and where I'd like to go. And Austin is one of them. Apparently, Austin City is great. Like, it's a really cool place to be and to visit. I mean, obviously watching that turn one, like the drivers going to turn one is such a dramatic moment to be a part of. So I think it's a cool race to be at. Definitely in the future, you know, that and Miami.
Yeah. I met with some tourism representatives from Visit Austin at IMM, which is a big travel writers sort of trade show they have in Sydney every year. And there's loads of things about Austin that I didn't know. It's got a massive live music scene and huge music festivals as well, which attract, you know, people from all over the world. There's lots of parks and lakes and lots of paddling, sports like that. Unique neighborhoods as well in Austin, quirky, creative, you know, with murals everywhere. And I think there's kind of a lot to see and do if you're a visitor. Obviously, barbecue culture is huge. Probably not very good for a vegetarian / vegan like me, but, what? You know, you can put vegetables on a barbecue. They taste good.
I think certain parts of the States, yeah, would not be great. Actually, Texas, I think they're really known for their meat. So it might not be great for a vegetarian, but definitely worth visiting, you know.
Austin has been extended on the Grand Prix calendar until 2034. So you've got lots of years to plan your trip to Austin yet and get to that Grand Prix.
Brilliant. That's good to know. That's good to know. Definitely. Yeah.
And you probably saw the clips of Lewis Hamilton riding a horse before the race. His first time on a horse. And in my head, I was thinking, well, at least he's got some horsepower this weekend, you know. And Liam Lawson also did some horse riding and a bit of mustering of those Longhorn cattle. I saw some clips of that. And that's they showed that on the Sky feed, which you might not have seen if you're watching. So do you watch Formula One TV where you are?
Yeah, I didn't see Lawson. I see a bit of their social media, which is great fun. Yeah. But Lewis on the horse was very sweet, very sweet. Like,
it was. And speaking of F1 TV, so Formula One has announced that in the US, F1 TV is going to be shown on Apple TV. So ESPN won't have the rights to Formula One from next year. Next week. We've got Mexico next week.
It was a Ferrari win last year. Yeah, Carlos won that last year.
So Carlos won it last year. Lando came second last year. Charles third in the Ferrari. Then Lewis in the Mercedes in fourth. He was driving for Mercedes, of course, last year. So, and Oscar finished eighth last year. So who are your predictions for this year for Mexico?
Oh, God. I mean, when I hear that Oscar finished eighth last year, I'm like, oh God, okay, maybe it's not going to be a good day for a boy. I got to go with the positivity that Oscar is going to pull it out of the bag and he's going to get up there. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to sit in
the endless positivity of it's going to be Piastri. What are your thoughts?
And who do you think second and third before I jump in?
Lando's been doing really well. You know, you kind of can't count him out. He's not getting the wins, but he's not doing badly. Really, if I'm really realistic, I think it's going to be Verstappen, Norris, Piastri. But I would hope it's Piastri. And which is better for it to be Norris or Verstappen, you know, points-wise? Probably Verstappen third, ideally. You know, in my ideal world, it would be Piastri, Charles, Lewis. That would be my ideal world.
Let's go completely full delusional.
All right. Well, I think it will be Max. It's going to take the win in Mexico. So last year he finished sixth in Mexico. But I mean, that was kind of not long after the whole Christian Horner thing broke out. So the team, like you said, the team was quite unsettled then from memory. So, but I think Max, yeah, he's one-eyed and totally focused at the moment. Max is going to take the win in Mexico in second. In second, I hate to say it, but I think Lando. And in third, I'm going to say Charles, who I want to win. I want Oscar to win. I want Oscar to win. And like you, I'm going to say Lewis for second and Charles in third. That's my wish list. What I think is possible and what I'm hoping for is Oscar to win. I think Max will come second and then Charles Leclerc could come third. So yeah, lots of different predictions there. Like I may as well just pick everybody. Like it's, oh yeah.
No, but I agree. I do think it'll be a Max win. I also think the performance of the McLarens has dropped as well. Like, I mean, I know what we were saying about Piastri and that Piastri hasn't been really that consistent in the last few races, but I also feel McLaren overall hasn't been great. And, you know, you look at Lando, obviously I'm not a driver and I've never been a driver, so I'm always a bit hesitant to publicly comment on someone's driving. I'll do a lot in the privacy of my own home. But you know, you look at Lando and like, yeah, okay, he eventually overtook Charles, obviously on the two different occasions, but it took him a long time to do it. And as you'd mentioned at the start of the podcast, he was being coached. And of course, yeah, that's fine and everything, but he really had to be coached to be able to be like, calm down, don't worry, like, let's pull back, let's, you know, figure this out. And if you look at, I think it was Singapore, he sat behind Max the whole way through.
Yes, exactly.
He wasn't able to overtake him. So I don't know if that's Lando performance or if that's a car thing, that his car wasn't good enough. I think Singapore, possibly car. Where were we just in Austin? It was his ability or inability initially. But I think that basically what I'm trying to say is that McLaren in the last few races as a team haven't been lining up the board, you know? So I don't know.
I feel like that McLaren started the season with a really dominant car and then the other teams have kind of caught up with different upgrades and whatnot, and McLaren hasn't kept improving their car. So that gap has just come right down between the car performances. Well, luckily we're in race week already, so we've only got less than a week before we get to watch racing action and see what actually happens in Mexico. And let's hope that Oscar gets on the top step. It's a really good year championship, isn't it? Like for any new Formula One fans out there, this is why we love the sport. It's just so exciting and it changes so much.
Yeah, yeah, big time. Yeah, no, I mean, it really is like, thank God for us, really.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Kiara, where can people find you?
We have our Instagram, which is F1 Live Pulse. We also have our website where you can see all about our app and our desktop, which is F1LivePulse.com. But yeah, they're the main two places. Yeah. And like, if you have any questions, you can reach out to us on Instagram as well about the app and, you know, what we're doing and everything. So we love connecting with Formula One fans.
And Mexico is going to be at an awful time for me again. So it's going to... The race is on at 4 a.m. my time. But the fact that I miss the app so much and watching the United States Grand Prix, yeah, maybe it will motivate me to get out of bed early so I can watch the race and have all that live data in the palm of my hand as the race is actually unfolding, because it really does add to the experience of watching a race. Well, thank you so much for jumping in Monique's seat and having a chat to us about Austin and about Formula Life Pulse, the app, and yourself. It's been really lovely.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. If you've liked what you've heard or seen, if you're watching us on YouTube, please, please like, please rate, review, and follow and subscribe to our podcast. We're everywhere. We're on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and all the podcast listening apps. You can also email us and away we go, f1podcast@gmail.com. Let's hope Monique's feeling better. And if you're listening, Mon, get better soon. We miss you on the pod. Thank you, everybody, for having us in your ears. Until next week, and until lights out.
It's lights out and away we go.
And Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto and Monique Cicato. Let's do it.